longtime resident of Altadena, the fire decimating his home.
Fire is blamed for at least 11 deaths. Wind speed and fire risk expected to increase today. Across the South, the fallout continues from a winter storm. More than 80,000 power outages in Georgia, where officials are asking people to stay off the roads until midday. No jail time or probation for President-elect Donald Trump, but he is a convicted felon after his sentencing in New York Friday. This is ABC News. Another record-breaking year for global temperatures sparks warnings about the impacts of climate change.
2024 is officially the warmest year on record, surpassing 2023. Data analyzed by the Copernicus Climate Change Service showing global temperatures averaged 1.6 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, crossing the Paris Agreement's 1.5 degree threshold for 11 months of the year. Climate scientists warn that back-to-back record temperatures, rising ocean heat, and intensifying wildfires like those devastating Southern California are urgent signals for action to reduce emissions and mitigate climate change effects. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Sam Moore has died at 89. He was half of the 1960s duo Sam and Dave, known for hits like this one, Hold On, I'm Coming, along with Soul Man. Moore was 89. His publicist says he died in Coral Gables, Florida, Friday because of complications while recovering from surgery. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
More than 500,000 gallons of water during floods. He says he hopes to mimic the natural features of beaver dams, including enhancing wildlife habitat, stabilizing eroded stream banks, and improving water quality. Wisconsin, like the rest of the country, has lost about half of its wetlands since the late 1700s, due in part to declining beaver populations. Hoffman explains beavers are regarded as a nuisance animal that regulators believe harm trout. State departments have gone so far as to contract with the federal government to wipe them out.
Conservation trout stamp dollars should not be used to blow up beaver dams. It should be used to encourage water quality projects such as what we're working on right now.
Few mock dam projects like these exist in the state. Wisconsin has strict regulations that make permitting expensive. Hoffman has spent $20,000 in the past year alone for his own permit. He hopes to work with the state's Department of Natural Resources to create a new permit that would allow other Wisconsin homeowners to build their own dams. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. This story was produced with original reporting from Bennett Goldstein for Wisconsin Watch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Not a bad winter day today. Increasing clouds, a high of 26. Light snow develops later tonight. Accumulations around an inch, a low of 22. Light snow winds down in the morning on Sunday. Additional accumulations, another inch possible. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will look back on the weekend news happenings and also review the Packers game and what lies ahead, if anything. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in for the best of the Todd Albaugh Show this weekend. First off, we're going to listen to part of Friday's show where Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joined us to talk about the new Congress we just swore in. Enjoy.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program on this TGIF edition. It is Friday, January 10th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everyone. As we are here in downtown Madison, just off state, or on State Street, I should say, a couple of snowflakes flying around right now. Big second hour for you coming up a little bit later. Once again, another edition of What's Worse. This one has to do with planning or lack thereof. We'll explain in a little while. But first of all, to kick off our hour, and what a big way to do it, Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins us via StreamYard. Lieutenant Governor, Happy New Year. Good afternoon.
Happy New Year. I am also in Madison today. I do travel all around the state, but it's super pretty today with the snow. We haven't had too much snow yet in Wisconsin.
I know for those that drive, whatever, thankfully, but also I know our ag producers are really hoping because they really need the moisture, and also our tourism, particularly in northern Wisconsin. The Burt Combiner's coming up. We were up there last year. They had to haul in and make snow. They could really use some natural snow up there for Wisconsin tourism.
Absolutely. I know in Wisconsin we love to be outside. I certainly love to snowshoe and get outside as much as I can. And we do need some snow to be able to do that. So even though we do have to get out our shovels and our snow blowers at some point in time, it's still a whole lot of fun to get outside.
It really is. And of course, we've missed a lot of the worst of the weather, but just south of us, these big storms. And I wanted to give you a chance just to talk about this for a moment. Governor Tony Evers declared an energy emergency in response to severe regional cold weather, noting in the executive order its impact on distribution of residential heating fuel. I think maybe some people here, what the heck is the governor declaring an emergency when the worst of this is to our south? But this has an effect on how Wisconsinites get our energy and the cost thereof. Just tell folks a little bit why the governor did this, please.
So, absolutely. So we know that we get fuel from all sorts of different areas within the country. And even if we're not having weather right here in Wisconsin, if it's close to us, it's going to be affecting some of our supply chains. And so what the governor did was declare this emergency because there are some federal and state rules about what time you can deliver types of fuel, how long you can be on the road to be able to do that. So it gives about 30 days for those fuel companies, for those folks who are going to be needing that type of energy fuel to heat their homes, gives them a little bit of time to catch up with this weather event that we're having.
And it's also a huge break for one of my very good friends was a long haul truck driver for a long time, and I spent a week with him, and that was an education. And my understanding, this order also creates a 30-day waiver for state and federal restrictions on hours of service for carriers and drivers for transporting residential heating fuel. So it really helps out the distribution of that to Wisconsinites.
It does. All those hours of service, those are the types of regulations that I was talking about. So they can catch up, they can get the fuel where it needs to go, so nobody is without fuel when we have snow here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a busy week here. You can always tell when the new legislative session starts because parking around the Capitol Square gets tougher. The coffee shops get fuller. The 2025 legislative session is off and running. Lieutenant Governor, what are your thoughts on this new legislature and the new session?
So I'm really excited about the new legislature. We have new maps. Many of you know, we got rid of the gerrymandered maps, which means that they were tilted towards the Republicans. So the governor and I won in our last election, a little over 3 percentage points. Yet we had a supermajority of Republicans in the Senate and almost a supermajority in the Assembly. What these new maps do is really reflect the voting patterns of Wisconsinites. So we're a whole lot closer in the Assembly and the Senate now. And what I'm really excited about for that is that it gives us an opportunity to do better work across the aisle. And you and I have talked about this before, but when I go all across the state, this is what I'm hearing from people, is they just want us to work together for the benefit of Wisconsinites. They're exhausted with the partisanship. They just want to make sure that government works all across Wisconsin. And with these new maps, making sure they're a little bit more evenly divided, I think is going to go a long way towards what Wisconsinites want.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we've taken this show all over Wisconsin the last year. You and I have a little bit of a connection tangentially that I grew up in Richland Center, and you have maternal grandparents that were dairy farmers in Richland County. So, I mean, you get that part of the state.
Yeah.
And I love living here in Madison now. Milwaukee's a great city. But I think your perspective, both from an urban place, but you also get and understand rural Wisconsin, and that excites me.
Yeah, so my grandparents had a dairy farm between Bosstown and Sugar Grove. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you know where that is, but many of your listeners might not know where that is, because it is a very, very small town.
Yes.
And so absolutely, I was just up there not that long ago. We still have family up there. So just went up there actually for a funeral to West Salem, Wisconsin, which is a little bit...
My condolences.
Thank you. But it was my godmother and my godfather. We went up there for that, to be able to visit with them. And they had a farm right outside of West Salem. Mm-hmm. And so I do have a lot of connections to some of those more rural roots. And this is why I love Wisconsin so much, is because you can find that not very far out of the city. You can get out pretty quickly out of the city to find things to do, but also smaller cities.
It's one of the things that people in this program know I voted for you and Governor Evers. One of the things I really admire about you is your attitude that, hey, it's a positive attitude. We're going to find ways to work together. I know that a lot of legacy media, the sexy click things are to click on the things where we're divided. Are there areas that excite you moving into this legislative 2025 session where you feel that there are opportunities to work with Speaker Voss, with Leader Lemahieu and the Republicans, and a close, still Republican leading, but a closer legislature?
Well, I mean, that's how we're going to have to get things through, right? So we've got a Democratic governor, and we've got a Republican Senate and a Republican Assembly. And so for us to be able to get things passed, for us to be able to do the things we need to do for Wisconsinites, we're going to have to work together. One of the areas that I also hear about all across Wisconsin is housing.
Yes.
And I know we got some really good legislation in the last legislative session to be able to address some of our housing needs. That is we need to continue to do more of that, because when I'm talking to people, when rents go up, when they're unable to afford their first home, this is such a pinch for families today. And we need to be able to address that with concrete policies to be able to make sure that people can have a roof over their heads, that they are able to put food on the table, and they're able to take care of their families. And these are the kind of things that are priorities for me, priorities for the governor. And I know our Republican colleagues are hearing it in their own districts as well.
One of the smartest things I've heard anybody at any level, any party say so far, because that's a real issue. Trigvi Olson and I, who travel around the state, we hear you're right. It doesn't matter whether it's in Amory or Wausau or Green Bay or Milwaukee. Housing is something that people, that's a real thing that people are struggling with, that I agree there are opportunities to come together. One place that might not be so coming together, Wisconsinites, I think, are sick and tired of elections. $50 million in the last state Supreme Court race where Janet Protasiewicz won. Hang on to our seatbelts. It could top $100 million. There's another one coming up. But elections have consequences. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, this one's important.
It's very, very important. We've got a Supreme Court race coming up in April, and this will determine the makeup of the court, just like the last election determined the makeup of the court. So if Wisconsinites are interested in making sure that they want to keep these fair maps that we have now in Wisconsin, if they want to make sure that we are allowing women to make decisions about their bodies, which is the abortion law would be on the ballot again, they have to make sure that they're voting. And who I'm voting for is Susan Crawford, because she's going to make sure that we have fair maps. She's going to make sure that we are applying the law appropriately in terms of the abortion law. And that's what I'm looking forward to coming up for this April, is to make sure that people understand the consequences of this election as well.
And we talked about this on this show earlier. I mean, I know you have an affinity for and respect for law enforcement in this state, around the country as well. Yeah. But here's a guy, as a former Republican myself who left the party in 2011. Here's a guy, Schimmel, on the Republican side, conservative side, who comes out earlier or last week defending January 6th defendants who are insurrectionists. That doesn't add up to back the blue to me. I have people in my family who are great law enforcement people, and it's a bit ironic that Schimmel's out there saying, well, let's let the people that attacked our law enforcement on the streets.
I do too. I have law enforcement in my family. And that is something that's, it's appalling to me that he would defend that type of behavior. We saw all those videos. We saw what happened on January 6th. And how many police officers were injured that day and died after that particular event. We can't forget that happened. This was a violent act. And to be able to defend that type of behavior and those illegal acts, I think is disqualifying.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And of course, I have a personal interest in him going to court and trying to suppress votes back in 2015, yeah. 2016. That's just something else that I think is, in my opinion, disqualifying. Maybe that's him as a rebut right now on the phone. No, it was not. Apologize for that. Lieutenant Governor, big game coming up to turn the page for a second. Yeah. I know you're a cheerleader for Wisconsin. The Packers traveling to Philadelphia. Any thoughts on the big game on Sunday?
I would never bet against the Packers. I am going to say they're going to win. Maybe we should put a dollar on it. I don't know. That's the only amount that I bet. I'm going to guess they win by 3.
Well, see, we're right on the same page. I said in the last segment with Brady Ewing, because this new kicker we have actually can kick. It's like I'm old enough to remember Chris Jackie. You know, I mean, that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, no, we have a great kicker. We've got a good quarterback, and we've got really good young talent on our team. And so, they've been doing well. I was very disappointed in the last game.
The Bears.
I know. But I have full faith that they are going to pull it out and they're going to win this next game. And they have such a bright future ahead of them for the next couple of seasons as they kind of get some seasoning, they get some more experience. And I love to watch them. We watch them all the time.
Well, we appreciate you making time for us. Thank you so much, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Thanks for doing a great job for our state. Welcome back to this program anytime. And have a great rest of the month of January.
All right. Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks a lot. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, we thank her.
Coming up next, we're going to have part of Tuesday's show where we talked about Brad Schimmel. Stick around.
Ready to work.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking around on the Best of the Todd Allball Show this weekend. Right now, we're going to listen to part of Tuesday's conversation about how unfit Brad Schimmel is for office. Enjoy.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down.
Here in the middle of the day. From Middle America, talking to the sensible middle of Wisconsin. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. Going to wrap this up, bring Luke Mathers on too. We also have a what's worse we got to get to, but this is a big story. And the mainstream media, the legacy media, just they don't want to get down and talk about this. Talking about Brad Schimmel. Republican conservative candidate for Wisconsin State Supreme Court saying on Vicki McKenna's show on the conservative talk radio show that he wants to defend January 6th insurrectionists. Guys like this guy from Wisconsin, Casper, from Pulaski, Wisconsin, that pled guilty, that used bear spray to spray our law enforcement Capitol police officers, and Brad Schimmel wants to defend them. We played the cut. Even Glenn Grossman, Republican congressman from Wisconsin, says he's not in favor of that. Yet Brad Schimmel is fine with it. Wants to play partisan politics. Caller up in Green Bay listening on our great station, WGBW. Every single show that comes out of there, a winner. GBW, great station up there in Green Bay. Mike listening on GBW says, good day, Todd. Wonderful show as usual. Thank you for that. What I'm worried about in this Supreme Court race is that Democrats not having the correct messaging. I feel like my party gets way too far into the weeds and loses all but the most politically adept individuals, unquote. Mike, I cannot agree with you more. That is the text of the day.
Text of the year, maybe. it's only January.
It's spot on. Look, I'm no Karl Rove. I'm no James Carville. I'm certainly no Trygve Olson, but it's not hard to see where this race is going to go, and quickly. Here's what Republicans and Schimmel, here's the race they're going to run. They're going to put up TV ads because they're going to go through Crawford's records as a judge, and they'll exaggerate it. This is what the ad will be. Judge Crawford let out an illegal transsexual rapist onto the streets. We need to elect Wisconsin's top cop who's tough on crime and who defended Americans voting. That's it. That's the whole race. And if Democrats try to play the, well, let's talk about Act 10 and how that affected public employees because it's really important to all of our friends and neighbors. Loser. Because the vast majority can't comprehend that easily. Look what happened in Wisconsin this last election. False, grotesque ads against transsexual people carried the day. And it was only when Tammy Baldwin stood up and said, you're lying about my record, that helped her pull that out. And of course, all the other, you know, the great legacy she has of being a United States Senator. Brad Schimmel has given Democrats a gift. He made a terrible political mistake by doing this, and Democrats need to get on this yesterday and start making this race about why doesn't Brad Schimmel back the blue? Why is he soft on crime? Why is he defending American terrorists on January 6th? And by the way, why is he also against Jewish people adopting, and why does he want to criminalize our friends and neighbors who happen to be gay? That's the race the Democrats should win or run, and they'd win. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul. Wisco, thanks for calling in. If you can make it quick, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Thanks, Joe. You always have the facts. That's great. I'll make it quick. Schimmel is the same as Gableman. There's very little difference. And the Act 10 will not work like you say. But Gableman, Schimmel, Kelly, they're all the same. Not good for Wisconsin. Thanks, Todd.
Always appreciate you, Wisco. Thanks so much. 855-752-4842. Gene up in Eau Claire, beautiful Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Outstanding show. Just outstanding. I recommend everybody who's listening share this with a friend and tell them to share it with their friends. This is outstanding reporting. Thank you so much, and I agree with you 100% on everything you said. Keep up the great work. Both of you guys, outstanding. Have a good day. Thanks. Bye.
You're amazing, Gene. We appreciate your listenership as always. 855-752-4842 up against the clock, but let's get one more in. WAUK Waukesha. Rick in Waukesha, what say you?
Is this me?
It is, Rick. You're on the air. If you make it quick, go ahead.
All right, Todd, I want to lighten things up a little bit. I got an opinion question.
All right.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but is it too early for Al Gore to jump in the race?
For what?
For president.
I think you're a little early. I think you're a little early.
A little early?
But I appreciate
the call. We got to get the name out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Rick, I appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. We're going to lighten things up a little bit in the next segment with Luke Mathers. We haven't gotten to what's worse yet. But I think that this, because we are right on the precipice, the cusp, whatever you want to say. I can't believe that our TVs and radios haven't been inundated with ads yet. But that's good news, because the airwaves are still clear to get the truth out there about this guy Schimmel. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Andrew quickly, a little shoot. Andrew, you got about a minute left. Go ahead.
I want to know why January 6th is terrorist-driven, but yet you talk nothing about the disastrous Black Lives Matter movement and all that stuff. Why never talk apples to apples about the truth?
But do you? I have the same question I have for one of our other callers. Do you feel like Glenn Grossman does, that those who attack police officers and either pled guilty or were proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to be guilty, do you think people that attack police officers should be in jail?
Yes, as a police officer, I absolutely do.
Yeah, then we agree with that.
Republican side, why not Black Lives Matter side? They burn cities down. And your side paid for them to stay out of jail.
It's not my side. I don't belong to any political party. And I have called out those who have attacked police officers. I've said on this program, I'll say it to you, as someone who used to be the chair of a public safety commission for a city council, I have great admiration for law enforcement. I absolutely agree with you. Anybody who's attacking law enforcement like that, doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. But right now, the side who's attacking...
Why are you calling one terrorist? Why are you saying somebody that used the bear spray, they did it too? So why is one a terrorist, but the other side's not?
Because only one side's running for Supreme Court and is against police officers, and that's Brad Schimmel. But thanks for the call, Andrew. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842.
Up next, we're going to move on to Thursday, where one of our regular listeners, L.A. Tom, called in to give some updates on the fires happening in the Los Angeles area.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. An overnight flare-up of the Palisades fire in Southern California prompted new evacuation orders. More than 150,000 people remain evacuated across the region, where more than 12,000 buildings have been damaged or destroyed. ABC's Matt Rivers is in hard-hit Altadena.
Neighborhood after neighborhood burned to the ground. Residents slowly making their return, only to find out they've lost everything.
It's gone.
Charles Nelson, a longtime resident of Altadena, the fire decimating his home.
Fire is blamed for at least 11 deaths. Wind speed and fire risk expected to increase today. Across the South, the fallout continues from a winter storm. More than 80,000 power outages in Georgia, where officials are asking people to stay off the roads until midday. No jail time or probation for President-elect Donald Trump, but he is a convicted felon after his sentencing in New York Friday. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks beat the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks held off the Magic 109-106 in Orlando. Giannis Antetokounmpo came through again, scoring 41 points in what seemed to be an uphill battle. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
A lot of breaks didn't go our way.
You know, I thought they stole the jump ball. I thought Giannis got fouled on a drive, and we just kept playing. You know, we just kept playing through it.
The Bucks face the Knicks 2 p.m. tomorrow at Madison Square Garden. College basketball, the Badgers with a blowout win over Minnesota, 80-59. That's the eighth time in a row Wisconsin has beat the Gophers. NFL, the Packers and the Eagles tomorrow in Philly. Matt LaFleur on the joy of being the visiting team at the Eagles-Lincoln Financial Field.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone in there and you're riding in on the bus, and next thing you know, your bus is splattered with eggs. It's a unique experience, but it makes it a lot more fun as well.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Not a bad winter day today. Increasing clouds, a high of 26. Light snow develops later tonight. Accumulations around an inch, a low of 22. Light snow winds down in the morning on Sunday. Additional accumulations, another inch possible. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow. Monday morning, we'll talk to Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, on defending a progressive seat against Scott Walker's attorney general. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us in the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. This is from Thursday's show when Todd was talking about the terrible wildfires spreading across California. And one of our regular listeners, L.A. Tom, called in to give his perspective.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, January 9th, 2025. One of those days where our moniker, at least the last part of it, having fun doing it, absolutely does not apply to the first hour today. No fun at all for folks of SoCal, Southern California. Sat last night for a lot of the evening watching CNN, a little bit of MSNBC. The continual coverage of these fires in Southern California. And I understand it's a California issue, but a catastrophe like this becomes a national story and a national issue. And my guess is there's a lot of people who are listening to this program across the state of Wisconsin who either have friends or family in Southern California or have at least visited it. Wisconsin been fortunate over the years to gone to the Rose Bowl a lot. Been there myself 3 times for the Rose Bowl. Have friends and family in Southern California. We just stayed with them here last month when we were out there for the Wisconsin Badger USC game. So I want to just quickly, not quickly, but I want to take a few minutes to touch on this. It's absolutely devastating. And if you're familiar with that part of the country at all, to kind of set it up for you, you have downtown Los Angeles, and then kind of to the north and west of that is the Pasadena area, and then just north of that, Glendale and Burbank. And then to the west of that, along Santa Monica Boulevard, which goes from the coast, the Pacific coast, all the way to downtown LA, you have Santa Monica. And then just north of Santa Monica, it all kind of course, if you're out there, it all kind of runs together, right? It's hard to know where all this kind of, where the lines are, because it all feels like one big place. But you have Pacific Palisades, this community just north of Santa Monica, and then it goes up to Malibu. Pacific Palisades largely has been wiped off the map with this fire. And it happened so quickly that the Santa Ana winds came down off the mountains, and just, they were like 90 mile per hour winds in the middle of the night that took these sparks and just tore through this town. They're estimating now, and this is just early estimates, that so far the damage is north of $50 billion. It's just heartbreaking. There are really no words or adjectives to do it justice. I talked with my friend Nelson, who we stayed with out in Los Angeles here a couple months ago. He is thankfully south of the worst of this little place called Santa Fe Springs. So not by, for the time being, he and his family are safe in their home. But he said even that far away that the air is just filled with ash and soot, and these little burning embers once in a while. So the people are, according to him, someone on the ground in Los Angeles area, there's just a real panic in some parts of the greater Los Angeles area. Traffic has been snarled, to say the least. And if you've ever visited Los Angeles, traffic is no fun in normal times. I like to tell people who've never been there, just plan, it's an hour for anything. Got to go get groceries, an hour. Got to go to get a burger at McDonald's, an hour. Want to run to Target, an hour. Now, that's a slight exaggeration because, you know, there are neighborhoods where you have things that are going to take you less time. So traffic is never fun in Los Angeles area. But according to my friend on the ground, that people are just getting panicky. They're trying to evacuate, pre-evacuate, thinking some parts of Los Angeles that are not directly affected by these fires right now. The utility companies are saying, stand by, your electricity may be cut off, presumptively, to hinder any more fires from starting. And now there are investigations into the Palisades fire that this may have been arson. And of course, there's lots of misinformation, as these things do, on all kinds of socials, lots of blame games going around, much of which is not true. I want to give you a little taste of this. Here's just some snippets from CNN's coverage of this so far today. By the way, Carol works here at WMDX in Madison, says, I have a friend near the Eaton office, or pardon me, near the Eaton fire. She's near Highway 210. She is safe at the moment, was out of power for 24 hours, and is hosting two people and three cats, friends who had to evacuate. Thank you, Carol, for sharing that. And that is a story that has been repeated, that the people are seeking shelter with their friends or animals. I saw one story last night where there was a one-bedroom apartment, condo, whatever it is, housing 11 people and several pets in shelters. Carol also comments, according to her friend, air quality is atrocious. She got out her stock face masks again. Oh, the face masks. Yeah, everybody has wearing face masks again. The last thing she needs is the president-elect talking about Governor Newsom. Yes, that's part of what's going on, is the president-elect, of course, making this political, saying things that are just patently not true, trying to blame in part. So what's happened is there have been areas where the fire hydrants no longer work. And the this trying to be politicized by Republicans, that somehow this is Governor Newsom, the Democrats' fault, or the local elected officials, and trying to blame it on the protection of smelt and the fact that you couldn't have water come out of the Pacific to fight these fires, which is patently false. First of all, the protection of this fish, this smelt, is federally regulated. It's a federal plan. Governor and state people have nothing to do with it. And the water is coming from reservoirs, which, according to credible reports, are full. The problem has become twofold, the challenge. A, this is an unprecedented event. Some people last night were calling it the quote-unquote big one, which is normally associated with earthquakes in L.A. But this was the quote-unquote big one in terms of a fire, that there was almost no plan that you could have put together for this magnitude of an event, unprecedented because of the high winds. This is normally in January in Los Angeles. You have the mudslides. You have rain going on. And the fact that this fire is happening now is just beyond belief. Number two, a lot of people at the lower elevations were trying to wet down their grass in their houses so they didn't catch fire. And so that lowered the water pressure higher up elevations, which meant the water couldn't be pumped. So very complex, as these things usually are. And people running in with misinformation early. And of course, unfortunately, we saw this in the New Orleans disaster a couple of weeks ago, when the guy ran through the Bourbon Street with the truck, and immediately President-elect Trump took to Twitter along with Fox to blame this on a quote-unquote illegal person who had crossed illegally, that the truck that was used to cross the border, all found to be factually false. That in fact, it was a American who was born in America. This was a rented truck. And yes, it had been in Texas. It was because it was rented by someone else. So these early rushes to make things political are extraordinarily destructive and unhelpful. What folks in Southern California need right now are our thoughts, our prayers, our good vibes, and if we could afford it, our donations to credible, helpful events. I want to go to one of our longtime callers and L.A. Tom, who is in the Los Angeles area. Tom, your call could not be more timely. I appreciate you taking time out of what I can only imagine to be an overwhelming day. First of all, I'm sorry we're talking under these circumstances. Number one, how are you, your friends, your family doing at this hour?
We're doing good. We've had a few friends that have lost their houses completely. We haven't had electricity or internet for 2 days now. What people need to realize, though, about this fire is that it really is all about the winds. Mm-hmm. If you have someone dropping water, you know, from the helicopter, and you have a 70-mile-hour wind, it's not going on the target place where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is that water is just flowing. And then the thing about this water pressure thing, the problem is all these houses have, you know, they have running water in them. So basically when the house burns down, those pipes burst. And that's why the water pressure could not come from, you know, from down on the ground. But it really is just the combination of our dry weather and now the Santa Ana winds. Our fire season used to be from June to August. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like our fire season is from June until, I guess, January or further. I had a friend who lives in the Hollywood Hills area, and she last night, you know, they were telling them to evacuate, but, you know, she has a broken kneecap.
Yeah.
It's like she can't get out. There's some people that are housebound that can't get out, you know, and the thing about it is luckily, you know, the wind started to die down. I guess it's supposed to come back up again today. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that it's given us enough time that we've been able to do some water drops that have been able to put out some of the fires in Runyon Canyon. And the Palisades, which is a beautiful place, is completely gone. I talked to another friend just about an hour ago. that just said lost their whole house. You know, so yeah, it's crazy. It is climate catastrophe. Our local government is doing an incredible job in terms of the preparedness, in terms of letting everyone know ahead of time and constantly giving us updates. So I have to compliment that in a major way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's nothing. I mean, here's the thing. If anybody can stop the winds, like, so anyone wants to blame anyone, if you want to come to L.A. or if you want to come to California and you have the ability to stop 70-mile-an-hour winds, then you know what? Come here and we'll see what you can do. You'll be, you know, Superman.
Right.
But this is the reason why we're having, you know, the spread of the fires. I mean, luckily, where I live, which is more on the flats, I used to live in the Hollywood Hills, but mm-hmm. now I live on the flats.
And can you, if you don't mind, if you don't want to, Tom, yeah. you don't have to, but if you can describe more for people, just so they get a sense. I mean, most people kind of know, oh, Los Angeles is the city of Los Angeles, downtown is in the center. I like to tell people, you know, very broadly, the Rose Bowl, Pasadena is kind of northwest of downtown yep. LA. And then it goes Glendale and Burbank. Then you go to further west, Santa Monica and Malibu. And that's kind of where, you know, generically speaking, Palisades is. I have friends in Santa Fe Springs, which are kind of south and east of downtown LA. Where is it that generally speaking, obviously don't give us your address, but where is it generally that you're located? Yeah. Tom.
Well, we're in North Hollywood, so we're about 10 miles away, 12 miles away from Pasadena. So, and Glendale, we're about 5 miles away to 7 miles away from there.
So you are not that far from where a lot of these things are happening.
No, not at all. You know, like we're far enough away. I'll put it this way, with these high winds, if somebody, let's just say, this is what I'm so amazed by, Todd, is that LA County alone is 10 million people. Mm. And I'm honestly surprised that our area, you know, some Nimrod hasn't gone and just lit a match or whatever in the area. Well, because the thing is, if you get one little fire,
right,
you're done.
Well, that help us understand some truth here, Tom. And I still appreciate you taking your time during this a very difficult situation yeah. because this is really enlightening, puts a great lens on this for our listeners and viewers. Help us understand the truth here, because what we're seeing on social and other places is now that it appears that there's an investigation whether arson was the cause of this Palisades or the start of this fire, and there are reports, unconfirmed, that there are other people going around just being yahoos to light more fires. Is there truth to that from local reporting from Los Angeles, or is that just internet stuff?
I think that's internet stuff. I mean, there might be some truth. There's truth to everything, of course, right?
Right.
Or they find little truth nuggets to everything. But honestly, a lot of times what happens is, again, we are the largest place in the right. country.
L.A., Tom, yeah, not to cut you off. We're up against the clock. Are you able to stay with us for through the break or not?
Sure.
All right. Stay tuned. More reporting from L.A. Tom in Los Angeles on this tragedy that's striking Southern California. It's the All Balls Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all. In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for staying.
sticking with us in the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Here is the rest of Todd's conversation with Tom over in L.A. about how bad the wildfires are. And if you're in a position to be able to donate, Time Magazine has a really good list of reputable charities that can help out California right now. You can also find the link in our show notes. 19th
Congress as well, but right now we are honored and grateful to be joined by our longtime listener, L.A. Tom, joining us live from Los Angeles, California, where this tragedy has unfolded in the last 48 hours. Tom, thanks for staying with us to the break. Our ongoing contributor and friend Jeff Perry writes this on Facebook, watching us live on Facebook, says, best wishes to you, L.A. Tom, and your friends and loved ones. Stay strong. I can't even imagine how terrible this must be, unquote. I think Jeff speaks for a lot of us, Tom, that we're out here in Wisconsin. We have friends and family out there in L.A., the greater L.A. area. It just feels like I feel helpless watching this unfold. I can't imagine what it's been like to be right in the middle of it.
Yeah, tell Jeff thank you and all the listeners thank you. To answer your question about the reasons for the fire, I mean, again, you know, we're a huge place. L.A. is really a tapestry of towns. Mm-hmm. You have L.A. downtown, but basically everything else is kind of a tapestry of town, even though that town might be 400,000, 500,000 people. North Hollywood is 300,000 people.
Right.
That's three Green Bays.
Yep.
It's just insane the number of people. So what happens sometimes is you're going to have people that are homeless, which does happen here because we are a warm climate. And these people at night, when it gets cold, they may start a fire, to stay warm. You may have people, like you were saying, a few years ago, we had someone that was an arsonist that was around our area and that was, starting fires. Now that's not, I had not heard of that happening this time around. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was that, did it. People can, say whatever they want
to
say.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you directly, because what's being reported locally are there your local news. I always trust local news sources the most, because there was video. And again, we have to be so careful, particularly in this day and age, when people say, oh, here's a video. You have no idea where this is really from, but there was alleged video from last night from somebody near the worst of it that was allegedly starting new fires, far enough away where it was very likely that they were through the air, through soot or ash. And there were allegations that there were people basically taking advantage of this tragedy just for the hell of it and starting new fires. But again, that's what we see out here and on social. And that's why I wanted to ask you what you're hearing from local, whether it's KCAL or whatever you're watching or listening to out there, what they're reporting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so interesting is, on social media, they also have the Hollywood sign burning down.
Right.
That's not happening.
Which has not happened to this point.
Yeah. No, not at all. Not even close. It's, it's Runyon Canyon, which leads up to, a forest area. I mean, it's more places that are in the hills that are more forestry type of area. It has nothing to do with, by the way, raking or anything like that.
Right.
This completely has to do with winds and dry weather. That's what this has to do.
And give us a sense, Tom, if you would, from being there on the ground. I mean, like I say, my friends in Santa Fe Springs, which are much further south, they say even down there that the air is just smoke-filled and they're seeing ash and everything down there. I can't imagine, you being only 7-8 miles from some of the actual fires. What is the air quality like? Are you able to go outside at all? And do you feel safe right now?
I feel safe just because I'm in really bad tragedy stuff. I stay pretty calm, actually. Mm-hmm. So I'm a hyper person, as everyone probably knows, but I'm very, very calm when it comes to like high drama situations. So I actually feel good. Okay. About everything. The weather wise, it's a beautiful day here. I mean, the thing is, you would be like, oh, wow, it's just another day in LA, sun's out, everything's there. But yeah, the smoke is definitely there. You definitely need to wear a mask outside if you're going to be outside. Mm-hmm. They are recommending that people stay indoors as much as possible. But, if you go out, be smart enough to wear a mask. No mandates or anything like that. Just that, is what they recommend. But yeah, I mean, it's a tragedy. I mean, to think that the Pacific Palisades is gone is just like, it's just insane. You know,
well, and that's like why said, not to cut to you off, but I've only got about a minute and a half left here. My last question, just, I know it's too soon to ask where do we go from here, but to your point, I mean, there are grocery stores, schools. I mean, everything that we normally take for granted for some of these folks is gone. I can't imagine just like what do people do at this point?
It is everything over that area is definitely gone.
Right.
I mean, this fire has gone all the way from Pasadena, which is to the east of us, all the way to Westlake Village, which is completely the west. So, I mean, it is gone. It has reached a great number of areas, and Runyon Canyon, which is right above Hollywood Boulevard, in that area. You know, that's why it was very, very, you know, scary last night, because they were talking about, you know, people in the Hollywood area. But the thing is, it is the wind started to die down. When the wind started to die down, they could pour water over the fires in these from these helicopters or whatever, and then they actually hit their target.
Yeah.
But when the wind is blowing so hard, that water goes away from the target, and then they can't put the fire out. So that's the big thing. So hopefully the winds will stay down. Yeah. And if the winds stay down, we're going to be, you know, in good shape. But all those people that lost their homes, you know, like I just had a friend that was just calling me right now that, you know, apparently lost their home. You know, it's devastating, but we got to get a hold on climate catastrophe, and we got to get a hold of it fast, because otherwise other people in other states will be, you know, running into the same thing.
Thanks once again for listening to the best of the Todd Allbaugh Show this week. As always, you can head on over to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get podcasts to listen to the rest of the show from this week. As Todd always says, whatever you do, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you next week. Keep banging on your drum.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Max Inc. Radio, original local music from Wisconsin, Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight. This weekend, we welcome brand new band Take Back the Sun, and Terry chats with Aaron Schulke about Wisconsin polka. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. An overnight flare-up of the Palisades fire led to more evacuation orders in Southern California. 150,000 people are now evacuated. Josh Kashani is one of them.
This is something I've never experienced in my life. I hope to never experience again. And I just pray to God that things get better.
Fire crews continue to fight the massive blazes that are blamed for at least 11 deaths. They've damaged or destroyed over 12,000 buildings. Winter weather across the South has knocked out power. There are more than 70,000 outages in Georgia, also creating treacherous road conditions in the region. The Supreme Court signaled Friday it's likely to uphold the law that bans TikTok in the U.S. unless its Chinese parent company divests in the app by January 19th. And Sam Moore has died. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, half of the 1960s Sam and Dave duo, died Friday in Florida. He was 89. This is ABC News. Respiratory illnesses are surging nationwide. The CDC is reporting high activity for flu, COVID, and RSV. Hospitalization and ER visit rates are spiking, especially for flu and young children with RSV. COVID is the deadliest condition, responsible for 1% of deaths this season. The Justice Department released its report into the Tulsa Massacre of 1921 that resulted in more than 300 deaths in a prominent black community in Oklahoma.
The DOJ report concluded the deadly 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre was a coordinated military-style attack on Greenwood, which was also known at the time as Black Wall Street, and not carried out by a spontaneous mob. The report was conducted by the Civil Rights Division's Cold Case Unit, and the DOJ plans to discuss its findings with local civil rights leaders. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The report also noted that prosecution's not possible since all responsible are dead. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our community.